Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
Back-to-back wins. Who knew it would happen? This is J.P. Finley. This is the Redskins Talk podcast. My dude Rich Tandler is here. Tandler, say what's up, man.
Hey, what's up, folks?
How about that? Two wins in a row.
Hey.
This win,
matching their longest win streak of the year.
Right. Weeks 2 and 3, they won 2 games in a row. This win is a good win. You can say what you want about the Cardinals game last week. Gabbert was terrible. Not that Osweiler is particularly good, but they beat them down, which is what you're supposed to do. And the Broncos have a really good defense. They were able to move the ball well in the second half, certainly.
A slow start, but they got it going.
Good win. Now, too little, too late. If you want to be a downer on it, you can, and there's plenty of reason to. But that was nothing but a good football win.
But you know what? Santa leaves lumps of coal in the stockings of downers.
Ooh, so. RT getting going hard. all right, Mitch Tischler, the local celebrity, is here.
What's up? I wasn't sure you were going to introduce me.
I was. Well, Tandler gets his own mic, so we have to share.
I know.
Because of that, I had to get that off my chest. They won a game. They won 2 games in a row.
Hey, it's big. Finish the season with 3 straight and go 8-8.
Yeah, man. So here's what I have to say. There's a lot of talk about the Redskins have nothing to play for. The Redskins should quit for draft position, whatever.
That's stupid.
This team today proved that they have plenty to play for. Impressive win. 8-8 is absolutely on the table. I think you saw players play for one another and play for their coaches. It's tough because the Raiders win was more convincing. The Seahawks win was more improbable. So those mean more. But this might have been their best team win, I think, of the season.
Yeah,
the Raiders game.
Yeah, I think the Raiders game was. But still this one, because the Raiders game was like throughout.
Right.
From the beginning to the end.
Let's be clear. The first quarter of this thing was god-awful.
The first half was pretty god-awful.
Yeah, well, the Redskins started moving in the second quarter.
Yeah.
I think they had -2 yards on their first 3 possessions. And ended up with 388.
That's pretty good.
Let's let the big man give us his reactions. You were out there on the. You were actually sitting with us. Let's be honest about this one, Mitch. We have a guy that works really hard with us, David Cruz, and Mitch let him be on the field to shoot the game because that's his only chance this year, right?
That's his only chance. And to
Mitch
be fair,
is out here being Santa Claus.
To be fair, we have a lot of guys that work hard: Greg Abernathy, Mike Devenier, David Cruz. Those guys. Give him a chance to shoot the last home game of the season. I'll be back on the field in New York. But it was nice seeing how the other side live. It was pretty comfortable, warm, up in the press box. As he reaches for the mic, coffee, sodas.
You're up there all the time. You act like you never are in a press box.
I am literally in the press box once per season, the one game that I let whoever our third guy is do it. So it's not all the time.
Before I respond to Mitch's ridiculousness, all right, Tandler, you're always in there. Give me the tone. So So you guys, post-game is a little funky in that I am running around trying to get players for our post-game show. Tandler is in on the press conferences with Gruden and Cousins. Give me the tone of those pressers, because I imagine both should be excited.
Real quick, and Mitch is in the locker room with the players.
And Mitch is in the – I don't know why that was relevant, but there's your non sequitur about where Mitch is in postgame. Go ahead, Tandler.
It just seems like after a couple of weeks of kind of downplaying the importance of going 8-8, all of a sudden it's pretty important for them to go 8-8. You know, I think Gruden kind of said, you know, he answered your question about three straight non-league
seasons. When I asked him about that, he's like, we're here to play football, and we're not thinking about that. Now they're all like, yeah, 8-8 means something. Yeah. Ooh, there it is. Merry Christmas, everybody. Rich Tandler coughed into the mic less than 5 minutes into the podcast.
Let's give Pete a chance to cut that out.
No. Leave the cough, always.
And throw a carpool now drop in.
Carpool now. Thank you for letting me use my train of thought. Oh, yeah, but now 8-8 is important because it's the next game. Winning the next game means 8-8. That said all along, no, what's important is winning the next game. And what he said to JP was, you can't get to 8-8 until you get to 7-8. Well, now they're at 7-8, so it is a thing.
We talked a lot during the early season, and is it too little, too late, whatever it may be, but the offense would play well 1 week, the defense would play well the next week. This was a pretty good all-around win right here. You get a chance to see when the offense is clicking, when the defense is clicking. The defense was great. The front four, front six, seven, getting after the quarterback was pretty incredible.
And it's something that's pretty cool, we're going to run our interviews with Preston Smith and Ryan Kerrigan at the end of the podcast. We had them in postgame. They were both great. You're starting to get some dominant play on the edges from Preston and from Ryan. Junior Gallette's playing well for them. Imagine if they had Trent Murphy. So Kerrigan today got up into double-digit sacks. I think he's at 11 on the year now for Kerrigan.
The first one was 10, so the second one.
Preston Smith's at 8, which is his career high as rookie year. I'm guessing he'll get at least one on Eli next week, or whoever the hell's playing quarterback for the Giants next week.
Davis Webb.
I think Preston will get a new career high in sacks, and I think it's possible Preston gets to double digits as well next week. And that would be pretty remarkable if they have two guys with 10 sacks each.
Yeah, the double-digit sacks, Preston Smith has been a pretty good player for 2 years, would kind of make some big plays in a game and then disappear for a few games. I think he's been a lot more consistent this year, and that would be some good. He'd get a little bit more recognition if he hit that 10-sack mark.
You know, it's great to see, and whether it's whether this is a negative mark on Osweiler or not, but both Kerrigan and Preston Smith both had sacks today that weren't clean, beat the O-line, get the sack. They were chasing Osweiler down. They were effort sacks. They were coverage sacks, but effort sacks too. And especially the one where Preston got the fumble. I mean, that was Osweiler had that ball for God knows how long, a while.
Well, and one thing I even asked Preston about this, and you'll hear his answer. The Redskins defensive front was able to get a lot of pressure early in the season when they had John Allen collapsing the pocket, and Kerrigan and Preston made big plays then. They're starting to get a lot of pressure off the edges again now, and you've got Anthony Lanier collapsing a lot of pockets. And imagine next season when you have Lanier playing next to John Allen and you have Matt Ioannidis.
Without a cast on his hand.
Right, and healthy. He's not healthy right now. No. And as these guys get better another offseason, you know, I mean, a lot has to happen between now and then, but the Redskins defensive front, all of the areas that have been problems, getting to the passer has not been a problem, and I think it can improve next year.
Yeah, that's what makes a good pass defense starts with pass rush. And you can have the best defensive backs in the world, but if the quarterback has all day to throw it with the way rules are today, they're eventually going to pick you apart if they have time to throw.
At the end of the season, whether these sacks are against top-flight quarterbacks or not, seeing multiple guys with double-digit sacks is pretty impressive for a front 4-7 that struggled to get out to the quarterback early.
We haven't set the scene yet. We are in Mitch's podcast palace, this weird room that's kind of great. It's got a soda machine and televisions.
NFL Red Zone?
Yeah. Mitch, of all the things you've done this year, finding this room might be my favorite.
That's what I'm here for.
Is that mine?
I knew Taylor was going to say something.
I think that's the only reason I'm on the podcast, really.
You're on the podcast on the road locations. When you don't find us cool rooms.
I find you cool rooms in every place we go, whether it's the field or an actual room. I do pretty
the
well.
Field. I kind of like doing it in the field.
It's kind of cold now, Taylor.
I know, but the field from AT&T Stadium is pretty cool.
Oh, Dallas. Yeah, that was cool. Taylor always reads the corporate name. You know, like AT&T. Just say Jerry World. All right. It's time for Game Balls and Goats. Before we get to that, quick word from our sponsors.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Game balls. I am starting. No doubles. There will be no argument on this one, I don't think. I'm going with Kirk Cousins. Almost 300 yards passing, 299, three touchdowns. He did have one absolutely terrible interception, but I think the rest of his day made up for it. I think Kirk played pretty well.
He did? Okay. Well,
are you debating Kirk?
No.
Okay.
By the way, I think this is the first time we've had a no debate Kirk Cousins game ball.
Right. Unanimous game ball for Kirk?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Although he looked bad early, it should be stated. He kind of got things moving, and then the offense got moving.
Right.
Taylor?
I'm going to go, let's see. I want to go with someone defensively. I'll go with Preston Smith. He breaks a tie with Ryan Kerrigan going first because he got that forced fumble on one of his sacks.
Again, so. Unanimous.
Unanimous. I'm going to go a little off the board, but not too far. I'm going to go Ryan Grant. His two or three catches in the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, really started getting that offense going, especially that 40, 35-yarder down the seam when he was running wide open, made a nice catch, made a little juke, got a couple extra yards. I thought Ryan Grant really was a catalyst for the offense today.
Yeah, and not all those were routine catches.
Yeah.
As you kind of alluded to there.
I think Grant played well. 2 weeks in a row, I'm going Zach Vigil. 14 tackles, had a fumble recovery. Zach Vigil has helped them a lot in the middle of this defense with Zach Brown out and with Mason Foster out and with Will Compton out. And it's kind of cool. Mason Foster was tweeting about Zach during the game. And it's just, I like how the linebackers are, A, all pretty active on social media, especially Twitter, but also really in tune with the game, kind of cheering, you know, their teammates on.
Okay.
All right.
I'll go with that. I'll go defensively again. DJ Swearinger, two plays, and not that he didn't play well in between. And I believe it was in the first quarter, a third and four, the Broncos were driving for a touchdown. He made a stop 2 yards short, made a good stop on a little swing pass.
He came from pretty far out to make that stop, flying over,
made the stop, and then the Redskins avoided their normal end of first half woes. In part due to a DJ Swearinger interception, and in part because the Broncos wide receiver later lost his mind and didn't run out of bounds.
That was weird.
So keep going.
I have something to say about that.
I'm going to stick defense too. I'm going to go the showstopper, Ryan Kerrigan, two sacks.
Didn't we do Ryan?
No, he said Preston Smith.
No, I did Smith.
Oh, all right. Certainly Kerrigan. I thought we did him already.
Yeah.
No, I just Kerrigan. Said I was mentioning Smith before Kerrigan because of the fumble.
We should have done Kerrigan too, but certainly. I'm going to drop an easy one, Kerrigan. Talked about some fun Christmas plans as he was walking off the field, heading home, watch Christmas Story, going to drink a couple eggnogs, some gingerbread. He was all pumped up for it.
Because Ryan doesn't drink in season. That's tough. At this stage of the game, I'm going to drink tonight.
Eggnog doesn't have to be alcoholic, JP.
No, man, gosh. All right, I am. I'm giving. Taylor may call. I don't know if Taylor's going to let me do this one. I'm giving a game ball to Brock Osweiler. He was terrible. That helped the Redskins. 22 of 38 with a pick, a QB rating of 60.5. So I'm giving Osweiler a Redskins game ball, and then I'm going to give the knucklehead Isaiah McKenzie that opted to stay in bounds, run around more at the end of the first half. So the Broncos
had no timeouts.
One of the dumber plays we've seen. That guy gets a quarter of a game ball in a couple of weeks.
That guy for the Chargers made a similar mistake.
Now, that one didn't end up mattering because they blew him out.
Right.
This one didn't end up mattering because the Skins blew out the Broncos. Brock gets a full game ball. Isaiah McKenzie gets a quarter of a game ball. You guys can disagree if you want. All right. Well, then, any more game balls?
Let's move on.
At some point, we're going to have a Doxson discussion. He's certainly not a GOAT. Do you want to talk Doxson? Because he doesn't get a game ball. But
do we have GOATs? Let's clear GOAT. Because I don't really see.
You got a GOAT?
Any.
Does P. Ryan get a GOAT?
He was playing pretty hurt. I mean, did he do any? He had the fumble?
The fumble was not didn't cause any damage.
Yeah, it was
really.
Too late in the game. You're right. He
didn't play. He didn't 17 for 53. I kind of think we know who P. Ryan is, man.
That's right.
Guys
never improve after their rookie years.
Plenty of them do, and he showed a little bit this season. But
that was dripping with sarcasm.
Yo, I know that, dude. You think I didn't pick up on that? I got it, Mitch. Jeez. Yo, it's Christmas Eve, and we're coming off back-to-back wins, and you guys are being real ass bags.
One might say Grinches.
Yes, grit. I expect grumpiness from Tandler. It's weird coming. You were up in the press box today. I thought this was a good day for you.
I'm not grumpy at all.
I think you are.
Eh.
All right. So no GOATs? Is that across the board?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's talk Doxson. His first ever double-digit target game in the NFL. He was targeted 13 times. Now, these are the official NFL stats. Don't come at me about targets, okay? He was targeted 13 times. Had two catches. One was the 48-yard touchdown, where I don't know that we've seen an NFL receiver be that open this year.
Yeah.
And then the other one was like a little 13, 14-yarder. He dropped a touchdown where Cousins threw a nice ball, thread the needle. They scored, I think, on the play or two after that, so it ended up being okay.
No, they kicked a field goal.
I thought that was the touchdown throw to Crowder.
No.
Okay. Well, what do I know?
Different drive. Same end of the field, but different drive.
Of the 13 targets, not all of them were legitimate. Some of them were Kirk throwing the ball out of bounds, and Doxson happens to be the closest guy there. The terrible interception Kirk threw was a ball intended for Doxson, even though he was triple covered. What'd you think of Doxson's day, RT?
Could have been better. I think also, and I think Kirk talked about this a little bit, that one down the middle where it appeared that the Bronco defender had a hold of his right arm, so he could only get one arm up there. I think if he can stick another hand up there, that's a nice touchdown catch. But that's an if. That's a what if. There was another one.
That was a nice win, though, in the going up the middle there.
Was it
from the – might have been from the slot. I'm not exactly sure. But he won off the line of scrimmage. The guy had to reach and grab an arm. I mean, that's a second touchdown for him.
They get away with that sometimes. And then – he also had that earlier, I believe it was first quarter, he had a deep ball to him that wasn't really thrown quite deep enough. Some debate in the press box. If he could have maybe fought for it a little more, he didn't seem to really do it. The defensive back kind of easily knocked it away. If he'd gone up for that ball some, he perhaps could have caught it. And I think that's where, you know, I got some talk on Twitter, hey, he really needs to show some more heart.
Yeah, I mean, 100% Kirk needs to make a better throw there. He had a few steps on the DB, but he's got to try and high point that ball. He waited for that ball to come down, and that makes it a real easy play for the DB. He's 6'3". He can box the guy out if he's able to get up there.
Right.
But I thought he was okay. I didn't think he was bad. I didn't think he was good. I thought he was okay. I thought he could have had a couple more catches. I thought that if he gets that second touchdown, all of a sudden it's a little bit of a different conversation. If his line's looking 3 for 80 and 2 touchdowns, that's a lot better than 2 for 60 and a touch.
And you know what? I think that kind of sums up his season.
Yep.
If you want to go big
picture. I was going to say the same thing.
Got some, you know, caught some, missed some. You know, almost a great game. Could have been a great game to get that second. One of those long passes could have been a real good game over 100 yards. But you know, the proof is in the production.
The proof is in the pudding. All right, I want to make sure we have enough time for the Kerrigan and the Preston interviews. Is there any other pressing items we need to discuss? to me, I want to talk the groomers a little bit. We've long been hearing with John dealing with John Gruden rumors about coaching at University of Tennessee or the Bucks or, you know, Southern Cal, whatever the hell job comes open, somehow John Gruden gets attached to it, including I don't know why people think he would go coach in college. Coaching in college and recruiting seems so awful. And I remember having a conversation.
Yeah, but you're king of the hill, man. You are
in charge
of everything. You don't answer to a GM. You don't answer to an owner. You're king of the hill. You're king of a small town. It has its advantages.
I remember talking with Sean McVay last year about if he would ever go coach in college. He's like, man, I don't want to deal with all that. Making sure a kid's going to biology class on Tuesday. Give me a
break. You don't do that. That's somebody, 10 levels below does. You. It's,
and
that's
him. You might not answer to an owner or a GM, but you do answer to 200,000 alumni who are giving money to the school and are basically your owners and GM.
And 10 of them are deep pocket dudes that are in charge. All right, but beyond our weird esoteric conversation about college coaches, I don't even know if I use that word right. John Gruden rumors are heating up, and then the report from Rappaport says if Jay Gruden becomes available, he's the Bengals' top choice. Sure, right? Like, why wouldn't the Bengals want Jay? But this is a really, really long circle of getting to the Jay Gruden hot seat. I think last week we all had it at between 1 and 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. Tandler, how hot is Jay Gruden's seat?
Is there a 0?
Yeah.
To 0.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going 0, but if they go out and lose by 40 points to the Giants and some –
we'll have 0 effect.
Tandler goes so hard.
It's not.
Tandler's the cockiest dude ever.
You give him a close run for a second sometimes. But I'll give him a 0.5.
Yeah, I mean, I'll split the difference.
Big difference.
Yeah.
0.25, is that what you're doing?
Taylor's just –
that is the difference. I know you're not good in math. Yeah.
Oh,
but the difference is 0.25.
Taylor, stop stepping on the bottle when we're recording audio. Oh, my God. He starts the podcast by coughing. He ends the podcast by stepping on a plastic bottle and making one of the worst noises out there. My guy, Rich Taylor. All right, we're going to go to – you got Preston Smith and Ryan Kerrigan coming your way. Taylor, tell everybody Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Mitch, give them a Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone. A few days late, but we'll still throw it there.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Looking forward to seeing you guys in New York.
Whatever you're into, we're into.
Celebrate the way you want.
No, not everything.
Taylor, get your head out of the gutter, man. We appreciate you folks. Thank you so much for listening. We got one more game. We're going to close it out strong. Hopefully a lot of you are on vacation next week, but we will not be. You'll get another podcast from us Wednesday morning. Mitch?
I got one more thing. You guys both get a goat for passing on over-unders this week. You both get a big from me. I'm just saying. Anyway, subscribe, leave reviews, listen to Preston and Ryan.
All right, we're going to do over-unders again next week. That was you know what? We'll each take a loss. The season record is now – how can we each take a loss?
We'll take a half.
We get
Mitch has 2 wins. Tandler has 4, and you got 10.
How did Mitch get 2?
He doesn't.
All right.
Let him get his,
folks, thank you for listening. Enjoy these interviews.
Coming into this game, Preston, all everybody talked about was that Denver defense, number one in the land. Well, the last time I checked, that's you guys had 8 straight quarters without giving up a touchdown, although that last one, a little bit trashy.
Yeah. Guys are out there playing hard. You know, we know our offense was going up against a good defense. And we knew, you know, at the end of the day, we had to go out there and play, you know, really great to keep, you know, offense, you know, fresh and keep their defense off the field. We had to go out there and get stops and keep their defense on the field so, you know, they wouldn't be as fresh. And, you know, our offense go out there with their high attack.
Well, and even more than just getting stops, you guys were going and getting the ball for your offense. For the second week in a row, you were in the backfield all day, 2 sacks. Early on, though, you made the difference with that forced fumble. What were you guys saying after that? You knew you had changed the momentum of the game.
We just got to come out there and we got to keep playing hard. We got to. We know that when that moment comes and we swing the momentum, we got to keep on. We got to keep the ball rolling in the right direction, the direction that we wanted to go in, so we can change the outcome of the game. You know, guy, after that sack fumble, guys were playing a whole lot faster. Guys were speeding up their play. They was, you know, putting their foot on the pedal and just keep on going.
Let me ask you this. You guys have played some really good quarterbacks. You played Drew Brees, Carson Wentz twice.
Do you get a little more excited when you get to face Blaine Gabbert, Brock Osweiler?
This is the NFL, so, you know, no matter what, you know, guys still great quarterbacks.
You telling the truth?
Yeah, guys still good quarterback because, you know, for example, you know, Case Keenum, he was the third-string quarterback on their team, and now look what he's doing. You never know at any moment a guy can have a great year or a great game, and you just got to go out there and play. You know, you got to give him the respect because it's hard to start in this league, a quarterback, and it's hard to start period in this league. So you got to give that guy that respect, and, you know, go out there and play him hard.
That's a very good point. Let's talk about this. You had a lot of success early in the season, a bunch of sacks early, then things kind of quieted down, and now you guys are really getting to the quarterbacks late in the year. Early in the year, you had John Allen pushing from the middle. Now Anthony Lanier has become a force for you guys. What's it like for you and Ryan on the opposite side when you have that interior push?
It's a great feeling. We got guys like Anthony, Matt, Stacy, you know, Terrell, Ziggy, you know, even though he went out today with his injury. We got a lot of guys that can push the pocket. It's also, you know, it feels great to know that we don't have to worry about being in the edge of quarterback stepping up into, you know, and just be able to step up freely and take off or whatever. Knowing that those guys push the pocket and the quarterback can't step up and they got to stay put or either step back and we're coming around the edge. It feels great knowing that we have opportunity to get a sack as long as those guys are in and they're pushing the pocket.
Well, and you're getting the sacks, which is the most important part. Brian Mitchell's got a question for you, Bethesda.
Hey, Preston, continue on with that question there. You all today seemed like you had a lot of confidence attacking their tackles, both right and left tackles, and you two were switching sides. What did you see in the film that said we could have some success against them?
We saw that they, you know, they had some tackles that they were good, and we saw it was a lot of things that we could do that could beat them and have us success in the passing game, you know, to keep them, the quarterback, from passing, you know, so successfully. We saw, you know, that quarterback, you know, he was pretty tall. We knew he would hold the ball, so we knew we just had to keep rushing and believe in our rush and try to get back there. We knew from watching the film the quarterback would try to hold the ball to get guys open, and we know as long as, you know, our DBs are covering and the quarterback's holding the ball and there's nobody open, he's going to hold the ball. He's not going to try to scramble to throw it away. We knew he was going to sit back there and wait for guys to open up, or he might have tried to scramble to get guys open, and he was going to try to stay in the pocket as best as possible.
Before I let you go here, so you had two sacks, Ryan Kerrigan had two sacks, and I tweeted out during the game, because I guess he was facing Donald Stevenson. I said, if Donald Stevenson never sees Ryan Kerrigan again, it's too soon. I have seen offensive linemen pancake a block. I have never seen a defensive guy pancake an offensive lineman and get a sack. Have you?
I just seen Ryan Kerrigan do that today. He put the guy on his back. And, I mean, we have the pictures on the sideline. And it's kind of crazy when you look at the picture from right before he gets the sack, the guy's legs are in the air. We call it the dead cockroach. It's the dead bug. So he was in a dead bug pose, and it wasn't good for them.
Have you ever pancaked the guy and got the sack in the same play?
I had one last year against Detroit that was similar, but this one, you know, definitely felt really good. I mean, I don't really know what to say. That was just a really, really good feeling.
I mean, you ran that guy over.
Yeah, I mean, it felt good. I mean, it's hopefully.
What is the train called? The Purdue Boilermaker? That big train?
The Boilermaker Express. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There it is. The Boilermaker Express. Right, yeah. You and Preston off the edges right now are really playing at a dynamic level. What's happening for you guys that you're able to just meet at the QB snap after snap?
I think it starts with just winning our one-on-ones. That's what it ultimately starts with. And then after that, it's good coverage in the back and forcing the quarterback to hold on to the ball and just finishing plays. You know, Preston's doing a really great job of finishing plays and you know, getting and making impact plays.
Now, I believe you got into the double-digit sacks today, back-to-back seasons, one of only three Redskins players to do that with Dexter Manley and Charles Mann. That's pretty impressive company. What's it like to have your name up there with legends?
It's awesome. I mean, those guys are, you know, about as good as it gets when it comes to Redskins defensive players. So to be even in that same breath is pretty awesome. And you know, hopefully I can, you know, continue to work to improve and get better.
And you and I were at the Elaine Schuster Charity Foundation event last week, and Charles Mann was there. And you guys talked a little bit. Was there any, hey man, let me have my records, back off?
Oh no, not at all. He was real cool with me. I mean, I was impressed at, you know, how good a shape he's still, and he looks like he could still suit it up.
He really does look good.
I know, it's kind of freaky.
You guys are, this is the first time you've won back-to-back games since September. What is the mood in that locker room where you know you're out of the playoffs, but very clearly you're still showing up, these games still matter?
Yeah, I think that shows a lot about our character and our courage, because it would be easy just to kind of tank it and because we're not going to the playoffs. But, you know, these games still matter to us. It matters to us if we win or lose. And I think it shows in how we've prepared and how we've played the past couple weeks.
7-8, one game left. How important is getting to 8-8 for this team?
I mean, it's our goal right now, because, you know, it's the next game. We gotta find a way to get a win, and I think, you know, we'll feel a lot better about ourselves going into the offseason with an 8-8 record than a 7-9.
It's a fun day. It's Christmas Eve. You guys got a great win. I believe Mr. Chick has a question for you about maybe making Christmas dreams come true.
Well, thanks for the lead-in, JP. I know you get this all the time wherever you're at. But there's a young man who's got a sign before the game, says, I made this sign because I want to meet Ryan Kerrigan. And you went over and the kid was flabbergasted. You could see it on his face. How cool a moment is that for the athlete, you?
It was pretty awesome. I mean, that is still kind of surreal to me that, you know, people get that excited to meet me. But, you know, I mean, a kid takes the time to make a sign. It's like the least I could do is, you know, try to, you know, go over and, you know, give him a little Christmas joy. And I mean, obviously a lot of people make signs, but one that was that close, I felt like I had to, you know, go talk to the kid.